Oh, that Paul Juergens, he's funny. Popping his head in the studio here at KFGO and giving me guff. We're just talking about the ratings here on KFGO. Our Arbitron book, as we touched on yesterday, came out, but we were kind of breaking down some of the numbers. And actually, if you look at this program, it actually grows throughout the show. More people listen to it later in the show than early in the show. And actually, I was told by the big boss man here that the Mike McFeely show from 2 to 5 has the most listeners from 2 to 5 in the Fargo-Moorhead market, beating everybody, the FMs, the other AMs by a million miles. So we do have the most listeners in the Fargo-Moorhead market and the surrounding area overall, period total, from 2 to 5. So congratulations, Pinto.
Congratulations to you.
It's all you. When you came aboard, it all turned around.
It really didn't.
Actually, somebody who has helped us turn it around, not that it ever needed to be turned around, somebody who's helped us grow is the Twins play-by-play broadcaster. His name is Dick Bramer, and he joins us every Wednesday during the baseball season on the Mike McFeely Show to talk about the Minnesota Twins. Hello, Mr. Dick Bramer. How are we doing this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I'm fine. I was going to ask you how the Wednesday afternoon ratings are when I'm on.
Very good, actually. No, you're doing
okay,
fine.
Good.
Yeah, Yeah, we're going to keep things going. We're doing just fine. You're not fired or anything. So we're doing just fine. Hey, this kid, speaking of somebody who's not going to be fired anytime soon, Andrew Albers. Who is this guy, first of all? And wow, what a ball game last night. I thought I was watching 1991 or 2008 Twins baseball again. It was fun.
I suspect that today, Little League coaches all the way up through Legion coaches are dealing with pitchers who are pitching from the stretch position all the time, because that's what he did last night. And if you saw or listened to any part of the game Monday night, you know how the Royals have been swinging the bats, particularly against the Twins, and he just absolutely shut them down last night, and it was a sight for sore eyes, I'll tell you that.
So pitching from the stretch like he was last night all the time, your thoughts on that, first of all. Second of all, why does he do it? And third of all, I know it was worked well last night, but what does Rick Anderson and Ron Gardenhire think about that? Because that is unusual for a starting pitcher to do that.
Yeah, you'll see relief pitchers do it all the time. Brian Dunsing does it, and I happened to ask Ron Gardenhire about it yesterday, and he said he really doesn't care. Pitchers do it because it simplifies their mechanics. It abbreviates the delivery, and the shorter your delivery is, the less mechanically that can go wrong. And I was only speaking in half jest. I think if he continues to have some success, you'll see starting pitchers. Now, we've had them before who've been called up, but they were more relief pitchers who were pressed into starting duty. This guy's been a starter all along, and he's never used the full windup, and if he continues to get them out, he won't be the only one.
No, I don't mean to seem like I'm an uninformed Twins fan, but I'll come across as a completely uninformed Twins fan. We've heard a lot about all these other young hotshot pitchers in the Twins system. Andrew Albers, I don't believe in my recollection, has been mentioned at all or very much for sure. Tell us more about this guy.
Well, he's from Saskatchewan. He's undergone the Tommy John surgery. And after the surgery, he literally went on a personal campaign just to get a tryout. He drove from Saskatchewan down to Arizona to get a tryout for a club. That wasn't working out real well. He finally had an agreement with the Twins. He would drive all the way to Fort Myers from Arizona, and if they signed him, they would pay for his travel expenses. If they didn't, he was on his own, and he was going to turn around and drive the 35 hours or whatever it is back to Saskatchewan. The Twins saw something they liked. They signed him. He steadily has gotten people out all the way through the chain, and he got them out in Rochester, and in the absence of anybody else down there who was healthy and getting people out, they finally gave him a shot, and who knows how long it's going to last, but I tell you, after what happened on Monday night, the Twins needed something good to happen, and they certainly had that with Andrew Albers last night.
If you have a question or comment for Dick Bramer regarding the Minnesota Twins or anything else in baseball, give us a call, please. 237-5948-800.
And I'm afraid I've lost you. Hello?
Yeah, well, we're still here. Can you have us, Dick? You know what, Pinto? Why don't we'll hang up on Dick. You can call him back, and we'll go ahead and call him back, and we'll continue the conversation. In the meantime, I'm going to take a phone call from Richard Moorhead. Richard, I know you have a question for Mr. Bramer, but why don't you give us the question, and then we can get it to him when we get him back on the phone here.
Why don't you ask him, like when they're televising the game, the little scorecard up on the top of the screen, I was in the rest home the other day visiting. About seven people were sitting there watching it and couldn't read the balls, the strikes, and all that. It's maybe immaterial, the question, but
no, it's
can they make it bigger?
It's okay. I'll ask him that because we have Dick back on the line. And Dick, welcome back, first of all. And second of all, a caller from Moorhead, Minnesota, wants to ask you whether Fox Sports North could make the score graphic, the balls and strikes graphic, the innings graphic, in the corner of the screen bigger somehow, because he and others of his ilk have trouble reading it. Is that a possibility to make it a bigger graphic somehow, or could you do that?
It's certainly a possible. I don't know how they determine what to put up there or how large to put it up there, and I don't know the caller's name, but please pass along if he's listening that that's one of the reasons why I try to give the score and the count as often as I do, because I am sensitive to the fact that there are a lot of people who have a hard time reading it. And of course, the larger you make the score and the count and the pitch count and all of that, then the less there is to show from the game itself. So it's kind of a delicate balance, and I can understand the concern. But thankfully, I guess for me, somebody higher up in the food chain makes those decisions.
Well, and as a fellow broadcaster, I'm not a sports broadcaster. I don't do play-by-play, but let me tell you that I appreciate it. Anytime anybody on TV, and especially the radio, says the score and the inning, because
yep.
I hope that the first thing they teach in sports broadcasting school is people listening don't know the score or the inning of the game or whatever. And so say it often. If you feel like you're not saying it enough, then just keep on saying it. But there is somebody on the Twins broadcast team, Dan Gladden, God bless him. He doesn't say the score often enough, Dick. You never know what the score is when he's calling the game on the radio. So I appreciate you saying the score a lot. That has to be like broadcasting 101, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it is. And I, as a listener, more on the radio than on TV, but as a listener on the radio, you know, there's nothing more aggravating for me than listening to a game. Maybe you just tune the thing in and you have no idea, you know, what the score is or, you know, where you are in the game. And so I feel your pain, and I understand completely because I've been there myself.
237-5948-800, 880-5346. Studio at KFGO.com is our email. Kansas City Royals, Dick. Speaking of the Royals, a hot baseball team, good baseball team, improved baseball team. Are they for real, quote-unquote, and can they catch the Tigers, and can they do all these things? Or what are they, 8-2 in their last two games, I think? They've actually lost a couple of games in the Tigers, but this is a good baseball team, not a bad team at all.
They're a very good baseball team, mainly because of their starting pitching. And I guess it is some satisfaction, or should be, for Twins fans that the thing that has separated them this year from Royals teams in the past, their first four starters, namely James Shields, Irvin Santana, Wade Davis, and Jeremy Guthrie. And just over a year ago, none of those four starters were in the Kansas City organization. So the comfort, I think, for Twins fans is everybody knows what the problem is for the Twins. It's been starting pitching. There are solutions out there. The question then is, if you're Terry Ryan, what do you give up to get a top-flight starting pitcher like James Shields? In the Royals' case, they probably gave up this year's Rookie of the Year winner, Will Myers, who's really been swinging a hot bat for the Tampa Bay Rays. That was the price Kansas City paid to improve their starting pitching. So then extending it into the Twins situation, do Twins fans want the Twins to trade Miguel Sano or Byron Buxton to get some immediate help for the starting rotation next year? My guess is most of them don't, and I can tell you Terry Ryan doesn't. So we'll have to wait and see what moves the Twins make in the offseason to try to follow the Kansas City model.
Well, it depends on whether they keep hot-dogging it down at New Britain or not, Dick. If they keep hot-dogging it, then get rid of them by all means, because they don't fit into the Twins system. If they can settle things down, they'll keep them, and we'll see how things go from there. How about that?
Well, I don't know if you saw, Mike, what happened to Bryce Harper last night. Bryce Harper for the Nationals hit a home run, and he kind of did what Miguel Sano did at Double-A. And up here, it means you're automatically going to get hit, and that's what happened to Harper, and he didn't react real well to that. But that's why the Twins disciplined Sano, two weeks ago, for taking his time to go around the bases. You do that up here, and there's going to be a price to be paid.
Mm-hmm. that might be football season in some parts of the world, and indeed it is getting to be football season here in Fargo, Moorhead, with the Bison and Vikings in camp. But for me, the best season is always baseball season. That's why I love to have Dick Bramer on the show every Wednesday just to rap about some baseball, Minnesota Twins baseball specifically. If you want to join the conversation, please do, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. You have an email question for you, Mr. Bramer. Says, hello, Dick. Why won't the league have cameras shooting up the foul poles so they could replay the fair foul home runs that are a mile high?
Okay, that's a pretty good question.
It is.
I think as technology has improved, we've got typically in a telecast, just on the telecast, we've got like seven cameras, and then there are some stadium cameras beyond that. And I think the feeling is, through one angle or another, we should be able to come up with it. But I know even Target Field down the right field line, we've had a ball hit over the top of it in the vicinity of the foul pole. It's a good question. I suspect as we move forward, that might be something to be considered.
There must be a way with today's technology to have a laser beam shot up off the top of the foul pole. And then if the ball hits that laser beam, it's fair. And if it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? There's got to be some technology. GPS.
I think we got the technology, Mike, with lasers and all that to absolutely define the strike zone. And before the ball hits the catcher's mitt, there could be a green light on the scoreboard indicating that it's a strike before the catcher even catches it. I think the technology is probably that advanced at this point.
What do you think about that in baseball specifically? Because instant replay, there are instances that it's used in baseball, but not nearly to the effect that it's used in football, for example. I know that I sound like a dinosaur, but I'm just not a big fan of having everything reviewed and looked at to the millionth of an inch in baseball, because to me, part of the game is always the human element to it. And the more you remove the human element to it, the less I like it. Do you get what I'm saying, or am I just weird and old?
No, I understand completely what you're saying, but right now I'm in the state of Missouri. You go back to the 1985 World Series, and the Cardinals would have loved to have had a replay for that pivotal game in Game 6 between the Cardinals and the Royals. Have you still got me?
Yeah, I still got you. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. I don't know if your fans remember it all, but there was a blown call at first base by the umpire, Don Denkinger, and that allowed the Royals out. They took advantage of it and ended up scoring and winning Game 6 and then winning Game 7 in St. Louis as well because of a bad call. So here in the state of Missouri, they probably wish, at least the Cardinal fans do, that they had had to replay and review back in 1985.
Yeah, that is true. Don Denkinger, a very popular guy in the state of Missouri for the last 25, 30 years.
At least on the east side.
Yeah, exactly right. Aaron Hicks and Scott Diamond sent down. Dick, are we going to see those guys back in a Twins uniform this year, or are the Twins going to make the decision to just keep them down in Rochester and let them grow for a while down there? What's their status?
Well, I mean, here we are now, first week, at the end of the first week in August, and the minor league seasons are going to run out. Rochester looks like they might be in the playoffs, but the case study for how the Twins handle things like this is Brian Dozier last year. When Dozier was sent down, he just assumed that he would be brought back up in September, and he didn't really perform that well in Rochester. And the Twins just left him off the expanded September roster. It will depend on how Aaron Hicks does, and so far he's not doing all that well. Scott Diamond pitched last night and didn't pitch particularly well. And unless they warrant a call-up, it wouldn't surprise me if both players were left off the September roster as well. Hmm. The hope is that they'll do better and they'll be added to the Major League club in September.
Boy, that'd be quite a story, from both standpoints, especially from Aaron Hicks' standpoint, because he was the anointed one coming out of Fort Myers, Dick, and you saw him down there like I did. He was impressive. I mean, he looked like he was ready to go. If he ends the season sitting out the last couple months of the year and playing in Rochester and not coming back to the Twins, That's a change of fortune for Aaron Hicks.
Well, it is, but then you have to remember, too, he never had any time at all in AAA. He was trying to make the jump and did it successfully, jumping out of AA last year and coming to the big leagues, and they may feel that every day he spends at AAA will help him next year as he hopes to reclaim the center field job.
All right. 30 seconds or less. Alex Rodriguez needs to go away forever from baseball and never come back. Agree or disagree?
Well, I won't need 30 seconds to agree with you on that. I'm tired of seeing the smirk and the smugness and the explanations. I'm not a big fan, and we got past the other day, and the black eye it put on baseball, but it was all in all a good thing for baseball to deal with it and hopefully dispense with it, and we won't have to deal with it again.
All right, Dick, thank you as always. Great job. We will talk again.
Sounds good. Next Wednesday.
You bet. Dick Bramer, next Wednesday, you can hear him again right here on the Mike McFeely Show.